We are in the middle of our series on making disciples. So for the past 2 weeks, we've been answering the question, why make disciples? Today, I'm answering the question, what is a disciple? In the next few weeks, we're going to look at how we make disciples, who makes disciples, and where do we make disciples? So today, what is a disciple? Let's pray before we get into this. Father, we thank you for this time that we can focus on your word, to think about our lives before you. And we pray, God, that you would teach us. You would use your word to teach us so that we can be clear in our minds on what a disciple is, and therefore we can be clear on how to make disciples later as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please do keep your Bibles open at Philippians 3. We're going to look at kind of the whole chapter, but mainly focus on the verses that were read for us. So yeah, for the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at why make disciples, and hopefully you're convinced that it's important to make disciples. Not only that it's important to make disciples, making disciples is actually at the very heart of what we as a church are supposed to do. The purpose, one of the key purposes of church, is to make disciples. So what is a disciple? And I know some of you are probably thinking, this is old hat. I've heard this before. It's kind of boring. Why do I need to hear this again? And it's true. We have answered that question recently, but why do we need to hear this again and again and again about making disciples? What is a disciple? Why is it so important for us to understand this and remember this? Well, the first reason is because it helps you. It helps you to think about whether you really are a disciple yourself. And there could be some of you here in this room who are sitting here, you've been coming to church for a while, but you might not know if you're a disciple. So I want to help you be clear on whether you are or you're not, and then you can make the next step. And perhaps some of you actually say that you're a disciple, but maybe you're not actually a disciple. And Jesus says, and Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons, in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So Jesus is saying there are some people who think they're a Christian, who say they're a Christian, who say they're a disciple, but in reality, they're not. And so I want you to be clear whether you are or not, and to be humble enough to say, well, actually, I'm not, if you're not, and work out what your next step is. And the second reason why it's important for us to know what a disciple is because if we want to be a church that makes disciples, we have to understand what a disciple is. If you want to make a cake, you have to know what cake you're making. If you want to make a Millennium Falcon, then you need to know what a Millennium Falcon is. And I'm sorry if you don't know what a Millennium Falcon is. It is probably the coolest ship that can travel through space. But whatever we want to make, we have to know what we're making before we can make it, right? So we need to know what a disciple is before we can make disciples. Another very important reason is because it's good for ourselves, if we're a disciple, to actually see how well we are living as a disciple. And we'll get into that as we go today. So what is a disciple of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? What does it look like? Well, you might remember last year, Reverend Ying answered that question, what is a disciple? And he said to us, he taught us that a disciple is a learner. a learner of Christ, someone who learns from Christ in order to be like Christ. That is the basic definition of a disciple, a learner of Christ. Now, I want you to keep that definition in your head. And what I want to do this morning from Philippians 3 is flesh that out a bit for us. And I've chosen this chapter because I really love the passion of the Apostle Paul here. And I think he's just a great example for us. He's a great example of what a disciple actually is. And we see someone who really, really knows Jesus. And he's constantly trying to reorder his life according to that knowledge in Jesus. So here are four things that I want to highlight out of Philippians chapter 3. Four things that I want to highlight. A disciple knows Christ. Two, a disciple seeks to keep learning from Christ. Three, a disciple keeps an eternal focus. And four, a disciple sets an example for others, for other disciples to follow. So the first most fundamental aspect of a disciple of Jesus is that you know him. Do you know Jesus? A disciple of Christ knows Christ. In verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And if you know the context of this chapter, Paul is saying to the Philippians, you don't need to get circumcised in order to become a Christian. You don't need to do anything. Rather, your confidence comes from knowing who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Knowing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that makes you a disciple. And it's important for us to understand what it means to know Christ. It's not just knowing about Christ, but actually knowing Christ for yourself. You could have been taught about Jesus in Sunday school for many years, and you might have been taught about Jesus in church, in sermons, and in growth groups for many, many years, and you might be able to say a lot about Jesus. And the, you know, Reverend Ying might ask you who is Jesus, and you can throw off all these answers, and you can say, well, Jesus is God's son sent into this world, died on the cross, rose from the dead. You can tell me many things about Jesus, but it's not just about knowing about Jesus. It's whether you know Jesus personally for yourself or not. I remember a while ago, I was watching the news on TV, which is most of the time pretty depressing. But on one occasion, there was some really exciting news that I heard. They said that a gelato cafe in Sydney won the best gelato in the world. It was the number one gelato in the whole world. And it was, the winning cafe was in Enmore, the Cow and the Moon Cafe. And I thought, you beauty, I got to go there. I got to try this gelato for myself. The prize winning gelato was this almond affogato gelato. So one day I decided I'm going to take this 45 minute trip from Merrylands. I'm going to go to Enmore. I'm going to try this gelato. I've got to tell you, I love my gelato. So I was very excited. And my expectations on this gelato was very high. It's the best in the world, right? So we drive, and I was very excited. But then Caleb, who was about 2 years old at the time, just about 10 minutes before we arrived, he fell asleep. How am I going to try this gelato? So I thought, no, I'm not going back home. So we pulled over at a spot about two blocks away, and Vicky stayed in the car to mind him, and I walked. It was 36 degrees, perfect weather for gelato. And I walked to this cafe, and there was this queue, this massive queue. Everybody wanted to try this gelato. And I thought, this better be good gelato, you know. So I lined up. I eventually get to the front of the queue. I ordered this prize-winning gelato, and then I put it in my mouth. and it was delicious. It met my expectations. You have to try it. You know, the caramelized almonds with the single origin coffee and the Madagascan vanilla beans all mixed together in this gelato. And boy, it was delicious. It met my expectations. And I thought, I've got to come back here to try it again and again and again. I brought an extra one back to Vicky, and she saw my face. I was beaming. It was worth the 45-minute trip. It was worth the 36 degrees waiting in the queue for ages. But here's the thing. You don't really know what I'm talking about unless you've tried that gelato for yourself, unless you've experienced it for yourself, right? You don't have any clue whether it was really worth it, the best ever in your opinion or not. And it's the same thing with Jesus. You might know about Jesus, but you don't really know Jesus unless you've experienced his love and grace and salvation for yourself. The Apostle Paul says in verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. So does Paul not know Christ? Why does he say, I want to know Christ? Well, yes, of course he knows Christ. But he wants to know Christ more and more and more. He wants to have a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus. Once you've tasted how good God is, you want more of God. Which leads me to the next point I want to make, is that a disciple not only knows Christ for themselves, but a disciple seeks to keep learning from Christ. You want to learn more and more and more about Jesus. If a disciple is by definition a learner, then the moment that you choose to stop learning is the moment that you choose to stop being a disciple. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you have a genuine relationship with Jesus, then you want to know him more and more and more in your life. But here's the thing, the more we learn from Jesus, then the more we realize how much we don't know. And the more we would want to know Jesus more and more. There are always aspects of our thinking that needs renewing. There are always aspects of our character and our behavior that needs transforming to become more like Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus is a lifelong journey of learning from Christ in order to be like Christ. The Apostle Paul puts it like this in verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's saying here, you know, I've never arrived. There's always more for me to learn, always more faith to grow, always more character to be transformed, always more behavior to be rectified and corrected. So for Paul, knowing God a little bit makes him want to know him more. And as he learns more about God, it makes him want to know even more. And so I want you to realize that the goal of learning is lifelong. And it's not just knowledge, but the goal is the relationship. A relationship, to grow in a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus. And so there's no such thing as we're in different places in our journey of discipleship. And so I don't want you to feel bad if you feel like, you know, you don't know much about Jesus. You don't really have much of a relationship with Jesus. But if you've got a little bit and you want to know Jesus more, then that is great. And I encourage you to keep diving deeper into God's word. Keep straining ahead, looking ahead, looking into what God has done for you in Jesus. And the goal is not just the relationship, but it's also what Paul says, the final destination. And that is heaven, which of course is also the relationship, because that is where we experience perfect intimacy with God, because we are there with him face to face. So a disciple, this is my point three, a disciple keeps an eternal focus. Do you keep an eternal focus? Paul has his eye on the prize. Eye on the prize, he says, which is heavenward in Christ Jesus. He wants to be in heaven with God. There is no greater point where he can enjoy more intimacy with God than when he is there in heaven. So Paul says, look, doesn't matter how good my life has been or what's happened in this life, good or bad, I forget everything. I forget what is behind, and I'm just looking forward. This is going to be great. I strain toward what is ahead. And as Dan helpfully reminded us last week, when we know our final destination in heaven with God, well, we have something then truly worth living for in this life, something worth persevering towards, striving towards, or as Paul says, straining, laboring, or whatever word you want to use. Paul says, I'm a man of one thing. I forget what is behind. In other words, I'm just so focused that I'm not worried about anything else. I'm not looking that way. I'm just full charging ahead at the goal like an athlete. I've got no time to dwell on my past, what I could have been or what I could have done. But what I do know is that God has given me a great gift in Jesus, who has made a way for me to enter into heaven and be with God forever. And that is what really matters to Paul. That is all that matters to Paul. He's a man of one thing. He says in verse 20 that our citizenship is in heaven. So Paul wants to remind us that heaven is our true home. And earth, where we are right now, is just the place that we are passing through. We're just travelers here on earth. Heaven is our home. Many years ago now, I went backpacking around Europe, and I went by myself for about 3 months. I saved up 10 grand, which is not a lot of money, but I've managed to survive on this shoestring budget for 3 months in Europe. And it was an incredible experience. I slept in parks and those kinds of things to save money. I wouldn't do it again now, but pretty crazy back then. But I got to meet many people, saw many things, experienced lots of different things, and I had a great time. But by the end of the trip, I was really looking forward to being back home. I remember on the plane, flying into Sydney Airport, looking over and just going, man, I'm looking forward to be back home, you know, to get this back home with my family, see my mom and dad again, get this home-cooked meal from mom. And I just couldn't wait. You know, I've been eating all this sort of cheap junk food and just trying to get by, and now I'm going to enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. And there's nothing like my own bed. I've been sleeping in parks and on the grass, you know, and now I'm finally going to get my own bed. There is nothing like home. Home is where we want to be. And the Apostle Paul says, heaven is our home. This is not our home. We're just traveling through. Heaven is our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. A disciple keeps an eternal focus. It's so easy to lose that focus, isn't it? So easy to be distracted by the things of this world. There are so many good things in this world. So many fun things to enjoy, like gelato. But we need to be careful not to lose our eternal focus, because it's actually quite easy for the good things in life to actually become things that take away the best thing, which is our relationship with God. You know, good things can become idols. A good career can become an idol. A good house, home, can become an idol. A good bank balance can become an idol. Things that can cause us to lose our eternal focus. But Paul says, a disciple keeps an eternal focus. When we look at Paul's life in the New Testament, when from the moment he became a Christian, we see that his life was transformed and he had an eternal focus from that point onwards. Knowing Jesus and living for eternity basically shaped his whole life, and it caused him to reorder what he was on about, striving for heaven and helping others strive for heaven as well. That was what he was on about. And so this leads me to the fourth and final point. A disciple sets an example for others to follow. Have a look at what he says, verse 17. He says, they're joined together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. You know, there's a lot of imitation in this world. You know, when it comes to social media like TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram, there really is not a lot of new ideas out there, to be honest. You see one video and then you see thousands of others that are just the same. People copying other people, trying to do the same dance, trying to be cool as them, trying to be as popular as them. There's a lot of imitation. And to be honest, 90% of the stuff we see on social media is rubbish and really, really actually very unhelpful. And so to all of you young people out there, don't bother. You know, it's not worth copying. Not worth copying those things. What does Paul want us to copy? He wants us to copy him. He says, follow my example. He is an example worth following. So if you want to find someone to follow, don't follow the TikTok celebrities. Follow Paul. He's a great example. He is worth following. He's saying, not only follow me, though. Do you read what he's saying? Join with me in following my example. Do you see where he's getting at? He not only wants us to follow him, but he wants us to follow his example in showing others an example. We are not merely meant to be disciples in and of ourselves, but we are meant to set an example for others to follow us, which means we have to be a disciple worth following. Paul is a disciple worth following. Are you a disciple worth following? We get a real sense that for Paul, he really knew God and he made his life about being an example for others to follow. He really wanted to help others know God as he knew God. He really wanted others to enjoy what he enjoyed with God. A disciple shouldn't keep Jesus to themselves, but a disciple ought to share Jesus with others. And so Paul says, be a model as I have been a model to you. As I've been a model to you, keep an eye out on others as I have kept an eye out for you guys. Don't keep it to yourself, but share it with others and help them to know God as well. So what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who knows Christ, someone who seeks to keep learning from Christ, 3, someone who keeps an eternal focus, and 4, someone who sets an example for other disciples to follow. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, oh man, I've just worked out I'm not a disciple. Well, that's a good thing to realize, actually. And so you need to join Ying's Investigating Christianity course, if that's you. And I encourage you and urge you to do that course. You might have thought you were a disciple, but actually you weren't. And that's a good thing to realize. Now, some of you might be thinking, I'm not sure. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Do the course and make sure. But I don't want to stumble you and think that it's about you who decides who's a disciple and who's not. Because there is no perfect disciple. None of us are perfect disciples. Even Paul was not a perfect disciple. He says, I know Jesus, but I don't know him nearly well enough as I should. I want to know him more. So it's not about how much you know or how much you've got left to learn, but whether you do know him personally or not, and whether you want to keep learning or not, whether you do want to keep an eternal focus and live with that purpose in life or not. I want to encourage you, if you do know him, even just a little bit, you are a disciple, and I want to encourage you, keep straining ahead as the Apostle Paul is straining ahead towards heaven. You know, don't live for this world, but live for eternity. Paul sets for us a great example to follow. So let's follow Paul as he follows Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the passion that we see in Paul and the clarity in his relationship with you and the focus and the faith which he has in you, his desire to know you more and more. We pray that we can have the same passion. Help us, Lord. Please give us your spirit that we might know you more and more in our life. And God, I just pray for anyone in this room who is not sure about their faith in you, Lord, that you would help them and guide them in their thinking. And if it's your will, Lord, you would pour your spirit into them and give them faith, true faith, Lord. And Lord, if someone wants to know but doesn't know how, help them to take the right steps and please lead them towards yourself. Thank you for your great love, God. We pray you'll continue to help us for the rest of our lives to learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen.